Welcome back. You're watching Stockwatch with me, Zanati Kuma. Tackling your stock-related questions this evening are Ashraf Mohammed from Cornerpiece Capital and independent analyst Carl Geewers. Don't forget to send those questions via SMS to 41392, email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za, or tweet us at BusinessDayTV using the hashtag Stockwatch. Thanks so much, gentlemen, for your time. Of course, the big news is the fact that Cyril, basically his head hangs in the balance. And he's due to give an address tonight. Of course, this is over the Palapala saga, where there is a possibility of constitution violations over the how he reported the matter, the robbery in Palapala at the Palapala game farm, and also the origin of the foreign currency that was stolen. So, of course, we wait to hear from him. But markets really taking that quite badly when you look at the rand and how you look at the bond market, and not quite equities. But if you actually dive down into the equities, you see the beating that financials are getting right now. Carl, what's your take on the alarm that's going on around this issue?
Yeah, I mean, you know, from a political risk, I mean, certainly it's heightened. And I think you see that directly in the rand. So at a time where other currencies are actually strengthening against the dollar that weakened over the last couple of days, we've seen the rand go the other direction. So that's obviously the clear sign that there is a bit of panic. If we look at the markets, again, some sectors benefit from a significantly weaker rand, like the resources sector.
Yeah.
That's done pretty well. But then your SA Inc, I mean, they got absolutely annihilated today, like your banks and your insurers and retailers that are based in South Africa and obviously exposed to the rand from the other side, you know. So if you're a retailer, you're probably importing most of your stock, so you caught on the other side of a weaker rand. So I think at this point, obviously, uncertainty, political uncertainty, that obviously translates to, you know, the economic growth that could come under pressure, policies that could change, you know, all of that. So that's where the market is panicking a bit today.
Yeah, and you can see the results of that weaker dollar as well. We are seeing DRD Gold up 9.77%, South 32 with a surge of 9.62%, Anglo Gold up more than 7.5%. Financials, I mean, this is a sector that's really been seen to have quite a lot of value when you look at SA Inc. Ashraf, do you think that this is a good time to go into the financials with the beating that we've seen, or does that maybe instill some caution in terms of the kind of environment then that they're under right now?
So the financials have been well supported over the past year. I think that they were due for a pullback. This is the quantum of pullback I was anticipating from the banks. So I would certainly be taking a nibble at these levels. You had the APSA PMI come out today at 52, and then also you had motor vehicle sales come out ahead of the previous month. So those are positive indicators for the economy, but everyone's getting caught up in the political uncertainty.
Yeah.
So, you know, anyone sitting with excess cash can certainly take advantage of this volatility.
Yeah. Besides, of course, the panic that we're seeing in the rand, the financials, and also the bond markets, you have the Fed. We did have a boosting of sentiment coming from the Fed expectations that they might start decreasing the size of those interest rates, those interest rate hikes from the December meeting. Carl, do you think that this could maybe be the best month that global markets could have this year since the Russia-Ukraine war?
Yeah, possibly, but I mean, we're already seeing. Are you talking about December?
Yeah, December. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, possibly, but I mean, you see today already that in the U.S. after yesterday's euphoria on the Fed's comments, and the markets sort of the reality of potential recession or very likely recession either way in 2023. And also we saw the US factory data pretty weak. So I think just the reality of pretty weak economic growth for the next 12 months or so, it's coming back and probably putting a bit of a dampener on for example, the US markets at the moment. So the market's very skittish at the moment, high volatility. So when news is interpreted as positive, like the sort of fading of the hiking cycle, potentially peaking of inflation, huge risk on, and then the reality of the economic situation, I think, then hits home. Yeah. So I think it might be a good month. December is often pretty good, but I think we're not through the whole lot yet.
Yeah, talking about the euphoria that markets got after Fed Chair Jerome Powell's speech yesterday, it kind of seems like markets tend to get ahead of themselves, because it seems that they ignore the fact that the Fed is still going to increase interest rates because inflation isn't where they want it to be. Just on that, Ashraf, I mean, do you think that Carl mentioned a kind of a dampener today? Do you think that the markets have fully priced in the risk of a recession in the U.S.?
To some extent, they've priced in the mild recession. But just to go back to Powell's comments, Everyone focused on the first part of his commentary, which was that they may reduce the rate of increase. What they didn't focus on was the fact that it could go on, it could be higher than initially anticipated. So it could easily end up Fed funds rate at 5.25. And I think investors missed that. They were looking for good news, and they jumped on the back of that good news. Yeah. I think recession risk is fairly high in the US. And I believe that it's something which will also change the consumer pattern in the next 6 to 12 months. But you know, again, households are still in a very good position in the U.S., so I don't think we will find a deep recession in that part of the world.
All right. Well, let's get to some questions for tonight. With the Transport Department finally awarding tenders in road construction, is there hope for PPC and ArcelorMittal? Of course, with every update that PPC comes out with, they're always saying that the needle will shift significantly once they start to see that work on the ground. Robex has actually had quite a few nice updates on how they're benefiting from those SANRAL contracts. Carl, PPC and ArcelorMittal on the kind of movement that we are seeing in that road infrastructure investment?
Yeah, I mean, no doubt it would be positive. I mean, for someone like PPC to grow volumes. So any of the infrastructure spend, if it comes to the fore, and we've seen SANRAL starting to award, and they did highlight that they'll use local materials because there was some concern about who they appointed. So that will certainly drive volumes and then allow a bit of pricing for the likes of PPC, Arcelor as well. I mean, they do compete with international steel suppliers, but, you know, just having that edge of producing locally certainly will benefit them. But obviously the rail system would be something that would be a big game changer for Arcelor, and the roads probably for PPC. So they are, PPC certainly an economic bellwether, if the economy turns, infrastructure spend, PPC should definitely benefit.
Yeah, that stock down about 10% on the day. Ashraf, would you say that this is a good opportunity to go in and then you sit and wait for significant road infrastructure to come in on PPC and ArcelorMittal? Actually, ArcelorMittal is a counter that's never really mentioned when it comes to the infrastructure investment.
Yeah, so I think that there's going to be significant infrastructure spend not only on roads but also on alternative energy. So that is a further tailwind. When you look at the number of initiatives and projects that are getting pushed through, I don't think people have quite grasped what the demand for, you know, for steel and cement will be over the next 2 to 3 years, especially when you've got to consider the number of gigawatts we must make up that Eskom is no longer producing.
All right. There's another question here. What's happening with Aspen and is it a goodbye? I actually was looking at that chart today. It's down more than 4%. And actually from about September last year, it's been on a downward trend. What's your sentiment on Aspen, Carl?
Yeah, so I mean, as you say, it's come down, I think, year to date, probably about 35%. So it's come under a bit of pressure. I think it's come, and since that the peak during the COVID environment when they had that vaccine line that they were, that basically would lead to capacity utilization, and then that not really the volume not or demand not realizing there. Since then, it's been on a downward spiral. You know, from where they were in 2018 after their balance sheet was in serious trouble, I think they're definitely in better shape, their balance sheet. But in terms of the growth prospects compared to then, the rating certainly, you know, it doesn't deserve a high PE in terms of growth. But certainly where it is now, I think one could buy it single digit PE or like probably about just over 10. The dividend yield is still probably not that attractive at 2.5%, but I think it's probably worth a look at this price.
All right, Ashraf, on your side, I mean, what do you think about their growth prospects, or at this point, do you just characterize it as a steady Eddy?
So it is my stock pick for tonight.
Okay.
I would agree with Carl in terms of. Its growth is going to be fairly muted going forward. It did get a bump in the share price and also market support during the during, you know, COVID lockdowns.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, they have right-sized the balance sheet. Leverage ratio is 1.9 times. It's trading on a PE of 9.4 times, which I think is fair. And just when it comes, there was a fair bit of misunderstanding in terms of the cash conversion ratio when one looked at the free cash flow, and they had used cash flow to purchase additional stock, being opportunistic ahead of higher input prices. So
yeah.
My view is that all said and done, it's a company that has an operating margin of just over 25% and good cash conversion. So I'm very comfortable with it.
Let's check in on what's happened during the day. We did see the nosedive that Nampak took today, down about 35% after the release of that trading update. Of course, they're saying that their operational capabilities haven't really helped in taking off the pressure out of the balance sheet. They have been dealing with debt for quite a while. And now saying that they're potentially seeking a rights issue of about 2 billion rand. Carl, what did you think of the market reaction that sell-off today?
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, announcing a big rights offer like that, I'm not surprised that shareholders were a bit shocked. And you know, even with that rights issue, I mean, there a number, you know, transaction costs, for example, of 150 million that they want to cover with that. And operating flexibility, you can understand. But I think, you know, it's a very capital intensive business. It's been stuck in a, you know, it's never actually been an exciting company. There were sort of periods where it's done a bit better and then, you know, things turn again, and it always needs new investment, a new, you know, upgrading the beverage can line, those kind of things always keep chewing capital. So, from a quality point of view, it's not a great business. So I think, I mean, even though the trading update, you know, headline earnings per share expected to be down, you know, about 45%, all not very encouraging. So I think not a surprise in that share price reaction.
Yeah, quite a turnaround there, because they were on a better footing. When was it, in 2020, 2021? But now we're seeing a major turnaround there with working capital requirements also at elevated levels, still dealing with that debt. Ashraf, how much risk sentiment should one apply to Nampak?
I'd say fairly high. When you, and you've got to consider the other markets that it's in. It's not a South African-centric business. And so you've got to price those risks in, especially a Nigerian risk where cash flow is very tight when it comes to foreign currency. So that is the same in most other African countries at the moment. They struggle to pay out in US dollars. There are always delays in terms of payments made out of and I'm generalizing now. I'm not.
Yeah.
There are certain countries where they are pretty efficient in terms of payments. But what I'm saying is, when you look at their exposure, that's where their biggest struggle comes through. And you know, when you're trying to grow a business in those countries, it becomes extremely difficult.
Yeah. Of course, they do have their ebbs and flows, although the overall picture kind of looks a little bit gloomy. If someone is thinking of going into Nampak, Carl, should they wait to see what the road looks like after that rights issue?
Yeah, I mean, it would probably be a safer company after the rights issue, given that the debt will be paid down, or a big chunk of it. So, you know, it would be... I don't know at what price the rights issue would have to be. It probably would have to be quite discounted to encourage investors to take up their rights. So I would probably wait for that and see what the outcome is.
Yeah, all right. Well, there's a question here. Of course, we were talking about the banking sector earlier on. May I ask the panel if they consider Investec PLC to be overpriced at these levels? There's been quite a lot of excitement on Investec as they've come out with really, really good results and also going through that share buyback program. Ashraf, Investec?
Investec has, as you said, it's gone through quite a few changes. I think the ship has steadied. The bad news is mostly in the price, especially when you think about the UK exposure. I don't see it as a major outperformer, but I see it as one that will give you good returns over the next 3 to 5 years, and I'm talking 10 to 15% per annum.
All right. And pricing. Carl, do you think it's overpriced, just at the right price?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's probably at an area where you could take profits if you own it, but it's not expensive. I wouldn't say it's overpriced, but it's done exceptionally well. And you've got the share buyback of quite a big share buyback program of 7 billion rand, which should continue supporting the share. You're getting a decent dividend. And it's not actually on the most recent earnings. It's not a stretch in terms of valuation.
Yeah. All right. There's a question here. Is Steinhoff and Wesizwe a buy? I'm not sure if you gentlemen look at Wesizwe. All right. Steinhoff. A buy, or are you part of the group of people that just after that scandal were just like, no, never, once bitten, twice shy? Ashraf?
I think it's really an option on a corporate turnaround, and I wouldn't be buying that option in this sort of environment. I would rather go with Pepco, especially in a slow economic environment. Yes, you're paying a premium on a PE basis, but you know, Pepco is evolving as a business, so I would definitely be buying that rather than Steinhoff.
All right. And on your side, Carl, would you take a punt on Steinhoff right now, because they have done quite a few things right since then?
Yeah, I have to admit, I haven't really looked at it in recent times, but. I think, as Ashraf said, it is an option. You know, it is you could take a punt on it, but you know, I think there are better opportunities to look at in the market.
All right. Talking about opportunities, we did see pressure on the Sasol share price today. They did release a trading update, still benefiting from the weaker rand and also the higher oil price. But markets didn't really like that update. Ashraf, what did markets not like about it?
They see it as coming in below expectations, and also the view is that the rand oil price has topped out at these levels. And you know, the other issue is the US operations and when they're going to get it all working properly.
Mm.
You know, let's not forget that that remains an issue, even though they have sold a large chunk of that business off.
Yeah. Carl, do those operational challenges worry you much? Because I feel like most of the analysts that I talk to really just brush it aside as just, you know, the business normal, yeah, kind of normal business conditions. We should expect these kinds of things. But that they're really taking the cue from the still elevated oil price. Do those operational challenges make you nervous at all?
Yeah, I mean, I think they were probably the main reason why it was down today. And also just the outlook, reducing guidance in terms of production, the issues that they have at Secunda on their coal there, which means they have to pay up for additional coal, higher grade coal as well. So I think they are not necessarily just operational. They you know, there's an element of structural issues at that you know, element of the business. But I think longer term, it's probably the oil price is really what drives the rand oil price, what drives Sasol's share price. So I think there is probably a feeling that, as Ashraf said, the oil price has been quite elevated for some time. I still think there are, you know, there are reasons for the oil price to remain elevated. So from that point of view, probably not a bad time to hold Sasol. But I think today's story was more about the disappointing production numbers.
All right. Marion Roberts, actually investors were in a better mood when it comes to Marion Roberts. I think we had that share price up about 4% on the day. So this is after they said that they're selling their investment into Bombela Concession Company, which owns the Gautrain operations. Yeah, of course. This is like less than a month after they said that they're selling Clough in Australia. Do you think that Marion Roberts, Ashraf, is turning a corner here?
No. You're selling your best assets. You know, Australia infrastructure spend is significantly higher in rand terms than what we have in South Africa. Bombela's performing well, so if you're selling off your best assets, then what you have is a shell of underperforming assets that may or may not perform when the infrastructure spend cycle returns.
Yeah. How do you feel about that? Because I understand that Clough especially was part of their growth strategy, but they were talking about exceptional working capital requirements here, where more money would need to be pumped into the business, and there was also nervousness that if they still have this asset, they might need to potentially tap investors for a rights issue. So, Carl, how are you looking at that kind of trade-off?
Yeah, I mean, construction companies are notoriously poor in terms of the business, you know, in terms of cash flows, because when they're growing, they need a lot of cash because they have to invest before, and then they end up not getting paid or have to argue about their payments, and there are a lot of risks in most of these projects. So, I mean, fundamentally, it's not a great business. And I think with the Australian business, they did, I think what you're right, they did exit to avoid that potential cash drain. Even if it could have been a longer-term growth area. So I think they've preferred focusing on their mining, contract mining operation, basically, in South Africa. I agree the Bombela asset was probably a good one. But again, if you need cash, you have to probably sell your crown jewels to get to what it's worth.
Ashraf, just lastly on Murray and Roberts, I mean, you're saying that they're now basically going towards being a shell. Do you think that they're at a crucial point where they now have to reinvent themselves?
Yeah, they have to reinvent themselves. As Carl mentioned, it's really the mining contracting business that's going to be the major contributor to profits. And what do you do with a business like that? Sure, South African mining is, you know, spending is in an uptrend, but how much? And I honestly can't see that as being, you know, the turnaround story for Murray and Roberts. I think construction generally is a low margin business, and fairly unattractive, and they should really not be listed.
All right. Well, very strong words there from you, Ashraf. Do you have anything to add on Aspen, as you've already told us that that's your stock pick?
I would say that under 140 Rand, I think it's definitely a buy, and I'm taking a 12-month view on Aspen. I think that that there will be an increase in the dividend over the next 12 months, and it's a steady eddy business now. It's no longer the growth business it used to be.
Yeah, all right. And on your side, Carl, what's your stock pick for today?
I'll pick Coronation. Again, you know, it's more further out. You know, they obviously tied to markets when markets rally and maybe recover in 12 or so months' time, then their assets under management should recover. You're getting a pretty sure dividend of about 4 Rand a share, and the share price is below 40. So it's above 10% dividend yield while you wait. So I think obviously not a big growth stock, but I think a nice dividend yielding stock to bring some cash flow into your portfolio.
All right. Well, thanks, gentlemen, for your time today and for your analysis. Thanks to my guest, Ashraf Mohammed from Corner Peace Capital, and independent analyst Carl Geerbers, to join me again tomorrow for the Friday edition of Stockwatch.